it's going to go live in a couple seconds, was the Epstein money trail connects to the world's worst people and Donald Trump. And so that's the framing.
That's good framing.
gosh, man, it's so disgusting. It's so gross. We have investigative journalist Zev Shalev here, who runs Narrative on Substack. And for the longest time, before it was sexy and fashionable, Zev's been trying to follow the money trail. And this was before the dumps, the big massive dump that happened on Friday of the Epstein files, the big massive dump that happened about 6 weeks ago. And he's been following the money trail, trying to ask the question, which I think is the central question, is, well, how did Jeffrey Epstein get so rich? Who paid him? And why? And the more and more we see from each subsequent dump, Zev, what we're seeing is Epstein, if he's the node, he is connected like to the world's worst people, billionaires, celebrities, philanthropists, academic institutions, economic institutions, foreign countries, foreign leaders. Oh, yeah. And despite his latest protestation, we're talking about Donald Trump, who's really pissed off at Michael Wolff. And Donald Trump said, I wasn't close to him. Oh, no, no. Donald Trump's closest friend for a decade was Jeffrey Epstein. So a lot to unpack. I'm sure you've been going through everything for the past 3 days like we have. Where do you want to start? The money trail.
Every time I look at a document, no matter what it is, I bump into Vladimir Putin and Russia. I mean, it's just like, it's incredible to me how you can't open a single document in the Epstein files and not find a connection to Russia. Whether it's Lutnick, whether it's Leon Black, whether it's Masha Drukova, who's now shown up today, this other guy, Atiya, who's shown up today. You know, I mean, there's so much about Russia in the Epstein files that it's kind of stunning. Now, we heard yesterday as well, Steve Bannon, in this previously released interview with Jeffrey Epstein, asked Jeffrey Epstein a question about what it's like to be, you know, getting advice from the president of China, the president of Russia, the king of Saudi Arabia. Jeffrey Epstein said nothing to deny that. He didn't confirm it either, but it's Bannon that posed the question right in front of Epstein, and this guy's got no problem, you know, saying that in front of Epstein, and Epstein did not even begin to deny it. So we have this framework now of this international, call it intelligence, call it money, call it deep state, call it whatever you want to call it. But there is an international framework around Donald Trump that for sure includes, around Jeffrey Epstein that for sure includes Donald Trump, because all the same people are there, all the same connections. You know, it's just everywhere you look, it's Russia and it's Trump.
And also, I would add Israel, right? Did you see the latest dump that shows, not the dump release, whatever, discovery? Peter Thiel, one of the richest people on earth, Peter Thiel, a white nationalist billionaire, Peter Thiel, part of the PayPal bro mafia, Peter Thiel, friends with David Sachs, billionaire, who was Donald Trump's head of AI, the czar of AI. Peter Thiel, who's friend with Elon Musk, who's also in the Epstein files, who gave $300 million to Donald Trump. That Peter Thiel is advising Ehud Barak, the former prime minister of Israel, to invest in Palantir, which has gone billions of dollars to run a surveillance state. And Palantir is in part funded and co-owned by Peter Thiel. And Palantir's founder, Alex Karp, gleefully gave Palantir technology to Israel during his genocide in Palestine. And Peter Thiel was the guy who literally hand-delivered and groomed J.D. Vance to Donald Trump. I mean, it's like, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you'd sit there and be like, you'd be like, you and me would have big eyes. People think we were crazy, but we're not crazy, Zev. It's like, it's all there.
People used to say that about me. They used to say I was a conspiracy theorist because I broke the story about Israel and Jeffrey Epstein in 2019. And I got, you know, crucified by the media and got crucified by the Israeli lobby, call it what you will. Even though I'm Israeli, I was born in Israel, I'm Jewish. I can, you know, it's kind of stunning that they went after me, but they did because they were so allergic to the story coming out. They wanted to distance themselves so much. But every file we see digs in deeper into it. Because, you know, Ehud Barak wasn't just the former prime minister. He was the former defense minister. which puts him at the top of the IDF, which puts him at the top of the intelligence food chain in the Israeli Defense Force. It puts him in charge of 8,200. It puts him in charge of all these units that were doing military intelligence. And who, by the way, Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell, was also affiliated with. So you've got a long history there. And what's really intriguing to me is, so you've got all these foreign leaders associated with Epstein. We know Epstein is involved in these financial collapses, whether it's towers, whether it's the 2008 crash, maybe even 1987. Well, are the financial interests of these countries being served by Epstein crashing all these entities? And, you know, it's a really important question to keep asking, because financial warfare, economic warfare is probably the most successful warfare of all. And when it comes to free and open capitalist society, we are the most vulnerable to it.
It's stunning how this man ran. And you think it's crazy, but it's not. Ehud Barak has been photographed multiple times visiting Ehud Barak's aide. We have audio tapes now. We have video of him. We know about, like you said, Glenn Maxwell's father, buried in the Mount of Olives, right, who died mysteriously. We know that many foreign countries, I've said this before to you, Zev, that if I was an intelligence agency of any country, I would cultivate Epstein as an asset, because through Epstein, I could get blackmail on the world's most powerful people. And now we know Epstein apparently was perfectly fine being cultivated by different countries, different people. Even we have that information. Even though Alex Acosta hasn't admitted it, but Wall Street Journal reported that one of the reasons why Acosta gave him the sweetheart deal is he was informed that Epstein was intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, everyone associated with Epstein, the victims as well, they say that he was intelligence. It's hard to pin exactly which intelligence agency he was working for, because I think he was working for all of them, or a lot of them at least. But he was a broker for intelligence. And there's a great story that he was telling Steve Bannon in that last interview that we aired yesterday on Narrative, where he's talking about being in jail at the time that Lehman Brothers collapses. He's got Jeff Staley on the one phone, and he's got, the senior executive at J.P. Morgan and a good friend of Jeffrey Epstein. And on the other phone, he had Jimmy Kane, who was the CEO of Bear Stearns, another financial institution that Jeffrey Epstein is very associated with. The next day, he's allowed another two phone calls because he's in prison. Who does he call? He calls the Treasury Secretary, or someone at the Treasury. At the same time, while advising all these foreign leaders, you know, that sounds like intelligence to me. If you're advising all these foreign leaders and you've also got an inside track on Bear Stearns and JP Morgan and what the Treasury is doing during a financial collapse, that's what spying is about. You know, that is how you define spying.
And this was, folks, and it's important for the timeline, and this is after he was a convicted pedophile on two counts. He should have been gone to jail forever, but he got the sweetheart deal of all sweetheart deals by Alex Acosta, who later became Trump's Secretary of Labor. The Trump circle is just amazing how this all goes back to Trump and the Trump circle. But and so he should be in prison. He's out of prison 6 of the 7 days where he's raping girls with an ankle monitor. And you're telling me that he's just casually fielding calls with some of the wealthiest institutions and its leaders. And then even after he got out of prison, why did JP Morgan continue doing business with this guy?
Well, a number of reasons. Obviously, they felt either compromised or they were found him very helpful. You know, how did Ehud Barak become a client of JP Morgan? How did Benjamin Netanyahu become a client of JP Morgan? Through Jeffrey Epstein. How did they get the big Google Sergey Brin account, $4 billion worth? How did Bill Gates arrive at JP Morgan? Through Jeffrey Epstein. So he was useful to them. But I think he was also useful to Jamie Dimon in many other ways. You know, these two go back to Wexner in Ohio in the bad 80s.
Can you remind everyone who Wexner is? I know people who listen to the Left Hook get it, but for those who don't know.
Leslie Wexner, the founder of Victoria's Secret, also, you know, L Brand, there's a couple of others, Abercrombie
Limited.
Limited. He's a big, in the old days, they used to call it the schmutter business because they used to sell, you know, clothing. And basically, Wexner was also that. He was a big entrepreneur, but he was also involved with the mob in bootlegging all sorts of alcohol with the Bronfmans way back in the bootlegging days. And that mob connectivity was always, has not changed. He's always been very involved. And he is he was Jeffrey Epstein's mentor for many years. You know, that's where the money came from for Jeffrey Epstein for at least until 2007 when he was first charged. A lot of the money that Jeffrey Epstein was able to fund all these things with came from Wexner. You know, Wexner, like Leon Black, signed over all his signing authority to Epstein, did all these crazy things that you would never advise a billionaire to do. But these two guys did it. And it begs the question, why? And one possible answer to that question is that he was doing stuff that was illegal for them. But if he's got signing authority, then they don't get blamed, which I think is, you know, plausible when you see the rap sheet of the things that Jeffrey Epstein did in the financial world, the amount of criminal activity, including for Donald Trump. You know, I've got, Michael Wolff told me in our interview that Jeffrey Epstein helped Donald Trump evade taxes. Well, illegally, you know, after his return from 1996. That's not in any of Michael Wolff's books, but it's what he told me. And I believe it because that's the kind of business that Jeffrey Epstein did for all his friends and clients. And in this case, I think Donald Trump was a beneficiary of that.
And how about let's do the Russia now. And then another billionaire who's still alive, much like Leslie Wexner, who's still alive and has never explained why he gave hundreds of millions of dollars to Jeffrey Epstein for tax and estate planning and why he gave him a $70 million townhouse that was seen as the crown jewel of New York real estate. Leslie Wexner, like one does, Zev, just gifted it to Epstein.
Look, it happens to me every day. I turned down two mansions just today. I was like, no. You keep that.
That advice on the Honda minivan was from the heart. You don't have to give me a townhouse. But Leon Black is another one who people have finally discovered. New York Times has finally discovered it. Oh, Leon Black, this billionaire private equity funder, Apollo Management, who also gave hundreds of millions of dollars to Epstein. And now we found out partied apparently with Donald Trump in Russia, where they went to a strip club. And, you know, he just happened to have forgot that. But now you're so the Leon Black, Russia, Trump, Epstein of it all.
Yeah, Leon Black went to Russia with Donald Trump in 1996. It was a funny trip because, you know, at the time, Donald Trump had just declared bankruptcy. And there was a lot of questions about, you know, whether he would ever be able to earn anything from anyone. No banks wanted to work with him. No one was willing to do business with him. Suddenly he goes to Russia and he returns and he's back on the Fortune 400 list almost immediately with $450 million in the bank. It's an unusual thing. How did he pull that off? Well, he went there with Leon Black, and Leon Black is also very close to Russia. You know, he was responsible for the Drexel collapse, or some people think he was responsible for the Drexel collapse, which led to the Black Monday of 1987. And Leon Black landed up making Apollo from the ashes of Drexel. Now, why that's important, or from the ashes of 1987, why that's important is because this is the way the pattern has worked over and over again. They grow the market, they pump the market really high full of so-called technology or crypto, or whatever it is they're pumping at any given time, until it's so high. They make a lot of money on the way up, and then they crash it. But before they crash it, they're positioned to take advantage of the crash. And Leon Black is one of those people who's always taken advantage of the crash. He did it with Apollo after 1987. And he's also done it, you know, frankly, he's been very close to Putin. I've got a photo of him on the site right now of him like two chairs away on a panel with Vladimir Putin at an RDIF convention. And not only that, he was the longest serving American on the Russian Development Corporation or whatever it is they call it. And along with Kirill Dmitriev, who's the chairman of that thing, who's, you know, so close to the Trump administration. He's everywhere around the Trump administration. So he's, Leon Black, very affiliated with the Russians. And it makes you wonder if that $158 million that he paid Jeffrey Epstein, was that just tax advice that he was getting, or was it a payment from the Russians? It could have been a payment for the Russians. For what? We don't know. But looking at the allegiances and looking at the way the money flowed, you won't pay $158 million for that kind of tax advice. You know, neither.
It makes no sense.
So, what was he doing? Probably funneling money from the Russians to Jeffrey Epstein. And the thing is about these new files that have shown, he is raping women with Jeffrey Epstein everywhere. There's a couple of really graphic testimonies, affidavits by people who he raped. There's pictures of him, well, allegedly him, because the faces are blacked out, and these women on these scantily clad on these yachts in Martha's Vineyard. Pictures taken by Ghislaine Maxwell, apparently, in the FBI files. Now, it's interesting because the reason they kept these guys in compromising positions is not so they can blackmail them technically. It's a sort of insurance scheme. You know, I am going to make you do this really illegal thing, and then I'm going to make you do another illegal thing. In order, if you ever squeal on me on the first illegal thing, I've got this insurance in my back pocket to come after you. So it is blackmail, but it's more like an insurance blackmail. And this is why it works so much. Everyone in the scheme is compromised. The entire network knows what everyone else is doing. So everyone's, you know, secrecy is maintained because no one wants to break that secrecy. It breaks everyone's secrecy. And this is the...
So we're all in. We're all in it. It's like a blood oath. We're all in it. And wink, wink. If one of us sinks, all of us sink. So it's in our interest that we just keep this merry-go-round spinning.
Exactly. And that is exactly what they're doing. If you look at what their reaction is right now, they're still hiding it. It's what Donald Trump keeps saying about why he wants all these Epstein files hidden. It's because he doesn't want to hurt all these good friends of his. Well, why doesn't he want to hurt them? Because they can hurt him too. They've got a lot of information about him. So everyone's sticking in. Some people on the chat are calling it a cabal. It sure feels like a cabal. It sure feels like it.
And you're seeing it. You're seeing it in real time with Elon Musk, who so shamelessly thinks that he'll be protected that he said, go ahead, expose the Epstein files. Remember, he's the one who tried to hurt Donald Trump by saying, oh, by the way, Donald is in the Epstein files when they had their tiff. And what he forgot to mention was he's mentioned 16 times, there's 16 emails, where he tried his best to go and party with Epstein, right? He made it seem it was a one-way. It wasn't one-way. It's there, folks. And I don't know if you've been watching Elon Musk on Twitter. He's been having a meltdown and distracting. It doesn't work. And each time he does, I just tweet the question, why did you want to party with a pedophile? And he has no answer. And I always look at the date, Sev, with all these latest emails. I look at the date, if it's before 2008 or after. All of it's after 2008. So this means Epstein was a convicted pedophile, a person who had to register as the highest level sex offender. Everyone knew about it, and they still wanted to party with him, Zeb.
Oh, yeah, that was the feature. They wanted to party because of the underage girls. I mean, because of the access to all this craziness. And, you know, Elon Musk and Jeffrey Epstein go back a long way. No matter how much he wants to deny it, every single dot-com founder from the early Silicon Valley days and beyond were all associated with Jeffrey Epstein in different ways. He used to host these forums. He's been at dinners with Elon Musk, you name it. It's not a surprise that he's in the emails. It's certainly not a surprise that he's in the emails as late as 2011, whatever it was. These guys were all in all along. It's why they've been working with the network to subvert and all the information to get Donald Trump elected. It's the only reason that these people would be doing it is because they're in it as well. They have a lot to lose if things go south here. And I think Elon Musk is a classic example of someone who's also, by the way, affiliated to Russia. Who takes calls from Vladimir Putin? Elon Musk. Who's helping Russia against Ukraine with the Starlink? Elon Musk. And it just goes on and on. You know, who funded Donald Trump? Ultimately, Elon Musk. And why did he
$300 million.
In order to help Russia, because Russia was probably funding that on the back end. So there's just a drumbeat here that it's hard to ignore. And when everyone goes back and says, you know, Trump, Russia was, he says it was a hoax. Obviously, it was not a hoax. It was a very real thing. Here's all the evidence you need. This is not some small-time operation that they were just influencing people on Facebook. They came at America in every direction. They were in the economic system. They were in the political system. They were in the scientific system. They were compromising everybody left, right, and center. And they were manipulating every aspect of our lives. That's how we landed up here today.
And also, did you see the QAnon release where QAnon, the founder of QAnon, apparently was in connection with Epstein?
I didn't see that, but I don't know who the QAnon founder is. I've been trying to find.
I mean, that's
it for
remarkable. So, if the founder, they have an Epstein email release where the founder of QAnon or one of the progenitors of QAnon is in connection with Epstein, and QAnon was used as a main conspiracy to rile up people against the deep state. It's all projection, because now we found out that the people who are actually part of the deep state were Trump and his lackeys, right? It was all projection. Yeah. So it was actually true, this cabal that people talk about, but it wasn't the left or liberals or Trump's critics. It was all these rich people in Trump circles that were actually raping girls and lying about it. So it's very interesting to see. I would love, Ellie found it, Zev. So there's that email and it was shared, where the head of QAnon, I'm forgetting his name, if someone knows his name, was put in contact with Epstein. And I'm very curious, because we know that foreign countries, including Russia, in order to create more mistrust, preyed upon cultural divisions in America, specifically race, religion, conspiracy theories, to cause more and more mistrust. So the fact that if even Epstein was behind that, or part of it, my God, man, it's so interesting that, Bannon also, talk to us about the Bannon of it all. Because he is much deeper in it.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. I don't know if you saw the interview we ran last night. This is the last interview that Jeffrey Epstein ever had. And it's Bannon talking to Epstein about all sorts of things, including the 2008 crash. But Bannon is, it's so interesting to hear him and the kind of questions he's asking. It all feels to me like this was an attempt to set up a clearing for Jeffrey Epstein, that they were going to try, rehabilitate his image somehow publicly using these interviews. And so a lot of it sounds like a lot of excuses, but still, in there, he asks a couple of questions. And one of them was, do you think you're the devil himself? And this is Bannon asking Epstein this. And, Epstein gets really miffed and he ends the interview. But it's striking that Steve Bannon is a Donald Trump former chairman of his campaign, former senior advisor at the White House. Here he is rehabilitating Jeffrey Epstein in this interview sequence. Another connection between Epstein and Trump that is just hard to ignore. These guys are like every single connection connects to them, also connects to Donald Trump, by the way, sorry, to the Russians, because who's Bannon connected to? Konstantin Malafiev and the other Russians involved in the 2016. So there's always, there's always those two connections everywhere you look. It's not surprising that Moscow is in the files, I think like 9,000 times or something like that. I have to double check that, but something like that. So
So if you're an enemy of America, Epstein is a fantastic, if you're an enemy of America, Donald Trump is the perfect Manchurian candidate. If I'm Putin and Xi Jinping, I'm like, this is awesome. We don't have to do anything. This man destroyed America and helped make China great again. But I digress. But if you are an enemy of America, Epstein and Trump is a node that you can use. Or they did use.
They did use. People don't realize this, but as the Soviet Union was collapsing, there was a KGB strategy that was started to destroy capitalism from within. They determined to use economic warfare in order to destroy the capitalist system. And they deployed about $50 billion, which at the time was an astronomical amount for Russia, as the Soviet Union was collapsing. Now, you might say they were stealing the money. Maybe they were stealing the money. But it seems that money was inserted into the American capitalist system. And it infected the entire system, because it's made billionaires out of people who shouldn't be billionaires. It's created these pump and dump scenarios where you've got the stock market, rising unnaturally and then crashing. So, and certain people profiting from it. It sort of disturbed the entire system. It was really an economic warfare attack. And most Americans are kind of blind to it and don't really want to think about it, because how could we have been so blind to this thing that was happening to us? But it's hard to avoid the reality of that seems to be how we got here, through this, constant attack on our economic system. 87, the dot-com crash, some people even say 9/11, the 2008 crash, COVID, the Iraq War, Afghanistan, all these things which were so destructive in the last 50 years, they all have their origins in Russia and to some extent those other countries affiliated with Russia. And it becomes, I don't want to jump into conspiracy theory land, but this is, when you look at what happens to the market in each of those stages, they always pump up the market. Then there's some event, some calamity, some chaos that happens. Market crashes, Who's there to pick up the pieces? All these sovereign funds, all these Leon Black Apollos, BlackRock,
billionaires,
all these companies. Yeah, billionaires pick. And that's how you get this rise of the billionaire class and people getting poorer and poorer all the time.
Well, you know, to that point, I don't know if you saw that news that came out yesterday. And I want to make sure I got it correctly. Exactly to what you said, and I responded to that. Oracle, run by Larry Ellison, originally founded by Larry Ellison, will slash up to 30,000 jobs to fund AI data center expansion as U.S. banks are retreating. And furthermore, if that's the case, and we're going all in into AI and crypto, as we know, World Liberty Financial, another big piece of news that came out yesterday. I'm sure you saw the Wall Street Journal article where literally, folks, Donald Trump sold out our national security for quid pro quo. There's a man by the name of Spy Sheikh from UAE. That's just the name given to him. He's a part of the royal family. He's in the national security advisor of UAE. He gave nearly $500 million investment in World Liberty Financial, which is the crypto grift, my terms, that the Trump family and the Witkoff family have used to amass nearly $5 billion. Well, behold, voila, after Trump becomes president a few months later, against his own national security advisors, he decides to give super advanced artificial intelligence chips of NVIDIA and sells them to UAE. It's like, I mean, the grift just never ends. It never ends.
It never ends. And it's really traumatic. The other story the Washington Post has today is the US dollar's decline under Donald Trump. Something like
that. That's right.
Maybe it's 10, 11, 12% of the decline in this 1 year. You know, why is he doing that? Why is he running an economy that is all about the decline of the US dollar, that people are scared to use the US dollar as the mainstay, as the main reserve with which they do business around the world? You know, some people believe that, and I might be one of them, that what he's really trying to do is intentionally hurt the dollar in order to force crypto into the system. And if he
that's part of the plan. That's part of the oligarchy's plan. That's what Peter Thiel and all those others have said, that you crash the dollar to help inflate crypto, which then helps the technocracy.
Yeah, it's what happened in Argentina. It's what happened in Venezuela. Venezuela has a huge supply of crypto, by the way. It's interesting that these are the countries that Donald Trump has also bailed out. So you've got all, you know, if that's the economic strategy, and it really does ultimately help our foreign adversaries, because they are, you know, the biggest miner of crypto in the world is Russia. That's where a lot of the crypto is mined. China smartly doesn't allow crypto to be traded inside its borders. Maybe they have now, but it's in a limited way. But the reality of it is, you know, America's a sitting duck for these kinds of technologies, as we were with mortgage-backed securities in the 80s and 2008. We just keep getting sold these things that are not real. They're just too good to be true, and they land up hurting the average American, but they enrich our foreign adversaries, and they hurt America in the long term. And I think we're seeing the result of that with what's happening with the dollar right now and this unusual rise of crypto, which only benefits Donald Trump and his kids. I mean, to the tune of trillions of dollars at the end of the day.
Have you benefited? I haven't benefited. Has anyone, has the average Joe benefited from AI and crypto? I mean, these people are making record amounts of money. There's record amounts of investments. They're driving revenue and growth, but it hasn't trickled down to the rest of us. And Donald Trump, to your point, passed the first pro-crypto legislation under his, which is complete, I should say, conflict of interest, but no one gives a shit. And he also pardoned BZ, the guy who created CZ, the money launderer, right? And then also we know with AI, David Sachs, part of the PayPal broligarchy, is his AI czar. They've gone all in AI. And if AI, you know, I was talking to Danielle about this, Zev, if AI is successful, we're effed, because that means swaths of jobs are gone. It'll be a fundamental reordering of the economy and the shattering of so many people. If AI, and I think you're getting there, and I'm with you, is a bubble that bursts where they've overinflated it, what's going to happen, Zev, and I've been warning about this on the Left Hook, I hope I'm wrong, is what we're seeing right now is when it bursts, not if, when, this AI crypto grift just pops, we will be asked to bail them out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the crypto is definitely going to crash. I mean, it's an artificially valued system. It only works now because of these new legislation and the new policy that Donald Trump is instituting. That's the reason crypto keeps climbing. Plus now, by the way, the market is kept up because every time you buy a crypto on these stable coins, they have to buy something else. So they're buying the stock market funds or something else to keep the same value on their books. So that we're getting an artificially inflated stock market based on crypto as well. But crypto is just another name, just to throw in another name. Elon Musk, PayPal Mafia, huge part of crypto, owns a lot of it through Tesla and his other companies. But also, some people think that he was there at the very origins of crypto and may have invented it. Of course, PayPal itself sounds like crypto before crypto. The whole idea of passing, you having this technology that allows you to transfer funds across the world and was often used, by the way, in its origins by Chinese mafia and Russian mafia to pass all these illegal funds around the world. Well, that sounds a lot like crypto too. So the origins are the same people who are going to become rich off it. Who's going to win at the end of the day? It's going to be Peter Thiel, it's going to be Elon Musk, it's going to be David Sachs, the PayPal mafia. Donald Trump has been given a huge piece of it, and that whole group of people. That is, if crypto succeeds, that who wins. But if it fails, to your point, we'll be holding the can. We'll have to bail them out.
Of course we will.
Yeah, because that's
too big to fail.
Yeah, too big
to fail. It's too big to fail. We've invested too much in it. Look at these big companies. Look, I mean, it's for the U.S. economy. It's going to be like the 2008, but dumber. I know you have to leave, but I do want to ask you about this. The Melania of it all. And I say this because I don't want to gaslight people because they're gaslighting people. And just to show you how it all goes back to the Epstein files. I know, folks, it sounds ridiculous. Kurt's here. Hey, Kurt. U.S. taxpayers are now the official backstop for the billionaires. Absolutely, Kurt. You're right. I'll bring you on in a bit if you're still around in 2 minutes after I get Zev out because I've kept Zev a bit longer. This week, there was a Melania documentary. And I just want to connect the dots for people.
Yeah.
Amazon, right after Donald Trump was elected, run by Jeff Bezos, decided it won the bidding war. And it said it would invest $40 million to produce this Melania documentary because, of course, the kids were clamoring for it. The documentary comes out, just hilariously terrible reviews. One review said that I would rather watch the January 6th insurrection again. And another review said that if they put this on a plane, everyone would jump off the plane. That movie, shockingly, Zev, made $7 million, even though there were empty theaters because of what right wing does. And people, I've been following this. And they've been doing this, Angel Studios and the right wing is part of the MAGA's cultural takeover. They hyperinflate the numbers of these movies. So they promote this right wing Christian nationalist propaganda, and then they buy out theater seats. No one goes.
They're paying people to go see the thing for $50 a ticket. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're giving people money to go and sit through a Melania documentary. That's how bad
things are. And people still didn't. So it cost $70 million to produce, only made $7 million. And so it's a flop. But look at how CNN and Warner Brothers is trying to spin it because they're all, trying to get close to Trump. So Amazon wasted its $40 million. It was an investment to get close to Trump. And they said, okay, $40 million for us is nothing. It's chump change. We'll produce this Melania movie. The person that will get to direct it, Zev, is Brett Ratner, who was, wait for it, Me Too'd because of doing horrific things in Hollywood. Then moved to Israel a couple of years ago. I'm not making this up. Where he became close to, wait for it, the Netanyahu government. And he was getting given a second chance to direct this movie. And he was, wait for it, you'll be shocked, Ziv, in the Epstein files, partying next to Epstein with girls. And for me, Ziv, who else is in the Epstein files? Melania. And I feel like Melania has a lot to answer about how she met Donald Trump, how she met Ghislaine, and how she met Epstein. Zev.
Well, Brett Ratner as well, if my memory serves me correctly, used to run his own sort of pedophile thing in Hollywood because he used to have all these wild parties with boys because he's gay. So I'm surprised that he's partying.
Oh, really? Brett Ratner? I didn't know if Brett Ratner's gay. I knew he did that with a lot of girls.
Oh, okay. Well, I
think you're confusing. Brian Singer.
Brian Singer. Brian Singer is also involved in something like that.
So Brian Singer was the one apparently allegedly messing around with boys. Brett Ratner was the guy with the notorious reputation of doing horrible, like, you know, Me Too with a lot of girls. And then
sorry about that.
And then so many stories came out, several actresses. Yeah, so Brian Singer, boys. Brett Ratner, young women. Brett Ratner goes to Israel. Brett Ratner gets redeemed. Brett Ratner is in the Epstein files. Brett Ratner directs this documentary, which comes out during the same Epstein drop. And yet in the Melania documentary, nothing about her connections to Epstein Glenn.
There is no mention of that, but there is in the Epstein files, as you point out, there's a letter that Glenn sends, Melania sends Glenn. In the Epstein files, where she says, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was something like, you look great in the Vanity Fair piece, or was it the New Yorker piece, or whatever it is. She's saying, that was a great piece, and let's get together at some point. And then Ghislaine says, I'll be back in New York, but I'm sort of too busy to meet up with you, but maybe I'll give you a call. But there clearly is a relationship between Ghislaine Maxwell and Melania, which has never been fully explored, that exists beyond her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, which we know about, and her relationship with Donald Trump. And it would be important to go through those files in more detail. Those emails that we have now about Melania and Ghislaine are just the start of what I think is a much bigger scandal, of course, involving the models, involving that whole, Trump models, the Epstein models, Casablanca's models, you name it, the whole group of modeling agencies in the elite model agencies, another one. In the 1980s, that was bringing people into America under false pretenses, getting them these visas, and then using them to spy on Americans. Some of them were used to entrap Americans. Some of them were just used to, you run as run-of-the-mill escorts. But there's a tremendous amount of that still needs to be unearthed around those modeling agencies.
And furthermore, I mean, I just want to underscore it. The First Lady, Zev, of the United States of America, was allegedly, according to Michael Wolff, he told this to me as well, he said Jeffrey Epstein told him this, the First Lady of the United States of America, the wife of the president, was introduced to the president, Donald Trump, allegedly by Jeffrey Epstein, a pedophile. And they first had sex on the pedophile's plane, the Lolita Express.
I think that sounds like a very legitimate possibility, because you'll recall Epstein, Maria Farmer told me this ages ago. She told me that Donald Trump was inherited by Jeffrey Epstein in the divorce. So Ivana Trump went to Ghislaine and Donald Trump went to Jeffrey Epstein. Like, they had custody of these things. And it's the reason why you don't see Donald Trump a lot in the Epstein mansion is because he went to the office a lot of the time. Hey, Lev, how's it going?
Hey, guys.
Because he went to the office of Jeffrey Epstein to have meetings because he didn't want to bump into Ivana. So that was, that's how far Donald Trump and Ghislaine got involved Donald Trump and Ivana got involved with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine.
Zev, welcome, Lev. Zev, I want to be respectful of your time. I've cheated, actually. I've kept an eye on the clock, and you said you had to leave at 3, but you were dropping gems.
Make sure, Dean.
Hey, Zev, before you leave, I have a little interesting news that I think we're going to be working on. I just got off the phone with some of my sources, folks. So, there, and I could confirm that there definitely has been an Epstein KGB honey trap going on, 100%. And if you start looking, the thing that the media and nobody's talking about, we're going to be talking about it. I'm going to be breaking this news later on today. There's over in the documents, we talk about how many Donald Trump name is mentioned there. Over 1,000 times in the documents, Vladimir Putin's name is mentioned. Over 9,629 documents reference Moscow, prostitution, Putin, and all kinds of stuff. I'm just going over my
notes. You talked about that 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, and there's also, look, there. This has been something we've all suspected, but amount of times is exactly that. I think it was 9,000 was, if you say it's Putin, I think it's Putin, and then 1,000 for Moscow. I'm not sure which way it went around, but then there's the Melania email. There's also the Masha Drakova email, which is really interesting, which ties Peter Thiel to Jeffrey Epstein. Masha
Can
Dukova
you explain that one real quick for people?
Well, Masha Dukova is a Russian spy. She was pictured with Vladimir Putin as a young-ish girl having a kiss with Vladimir Putin in public. It was just one of these. She was in part of the youth league of Vladimir Putin. And as she grows up and becomes Epstein's PR person and very connected to Silicon Valley, where she was sort of one of these vixens that they had.
I love that.
Had running around Silicon Valley and used to connect with all these people. So in this one email, she's telling Epstein that she's got someone to introduce him to that Peter Thiel introduced her to. And who's a Russian AI genius of some sort. And this email has just come out, I was just spotted recently. But it's, not surprising. Masha and this other agent for the KGB or the Russians were both given visas on behalf of these modeling agencies. They were, so-called models. But they weren't really models. They were agents. They were basically FBI, KGB spies.
KGB spies. No, this has been, I've been working on this for over 6 months now, and we're going to be breaking some stuff, Zev. I'm going to call you later. I know you got your show to do.
Zev, run. So I kept your delivery. Before you run real quick, shamelessly promote yourself to the 3,000 people watching.
Everyone should check out narrative.org, NARATIV.org. It's where I do a lot of my investigative work. I do great shows with people like Waj and Lev and everybody else that's involved in this community that's investigating Epstein. And I think this is really turning into a big crowdsourcing exercise, which is turning out to be probably the biggest in the world. And it's fascinating to watch everyone bring in their finds and share their sources and share what they're finding. I think it's going to be a big headache for the Trump administration because of all the work that everyone's doing. So narrative.org, and it's also where I write The Greatest Heist, which is my book series all about this. It's all about Donald Trump, Russia, and Jeffrey Epstein and the attempt to destroy the American economy. So this is now book two that we've got out right now, and it's chapter 8 right now.
Yeah, it was fantastic work, Zev. Thank you so much for clarifying for us. Jump off. We'll have this up later on my Substack and Zev's Substack. But Lev, I want to talk to you about Russia thing, because basically, if you think about it, I've talked about this before, but just let's just use common sense. If you have access to Jeffrey Epstein, and this guy is the world's greatest blackmailer, which is apparently the description that Howard Lutnick gave, right? The world's greatest blackmailer. Yep. And furthermore, that the world's most powerful men come to or through Epstein, and they do terrible things. If I am in intelligence of any country, to me, I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. I will do everything in my power to cultivate this man as a potential agent, either willing or unwillingly, witting or unwittingly, because now I have the goods on the leaders of foreign countries, the titans of industry, and I can use that as blackmail, right? This is fantastic information. And with Russia, as we know, I know it's a stereotype, but Vladimir Putin has said this is, the quote that he gave, he goes, we
are the
in
best
America,
prostitute.
In America, you women fight holding a gun. In Russia, we tell them to fight for our country on their backs, right? The very deliberate cultivation of honeypots, Russian spies acting, performing as beautiful prostitutes who then use sex to get these people. So if it was all connected, and we're going to find out more, could not have Russia said, we will supply Epstein this chain of women who will then go have sex with these men and then report back to us.
Well, I could tell you, Waj, like I said, later, I'm going to invite you. We're going to be doing a special report about this and breaking a lot of this news. But I could confirm, and that's why I jumped on. I saw you were with Zev, and I literally got off the phone. I've been working on this. But first of all, I want to tell you this. I lived through that era. I was in Russia in 1989-90 through the 90s when the oligarchy and when they used these honeypots, not only for here, but for actually in other business transactions. And people like Epstein. So I was always, and for the past 6 months, I've been talking about it, saying how that this is a much bigger operation by Russia. How come we're not mentioned? How come Russia's nowhere in the Epstein files? How come? Well, now, folks, here we go. Now here's the dump. Now we're starting to see, what Trump is really, really starting to get worried about. Because like you said, Wash, and Putin said himself, and again, it's not about stereotyping, but they actually did it. I saw it, and it wasn't only the KGB, but also powerful oligarchs. They would hire young girls and sex traffic them or pay them lots of money, some willingly, some unwillingly, you know.
That's key. Again, use and abuse these girls. Exactly.
Use and abuse them. And most of them, it was because... You know, it was because of money and power. So even the girls that were willingly, I don't consider it willingly because they were, you know, they were either too young or not naive or blinded by the power, by the money, by the influence to get involved. But yeah, I mean, it was rampant in the 90s and early 2000, Russian, Eastern European. Back then, it was still, you know, Ukraine, all of it was alike. So it was all of those Slovakia and, you know, Lithuania, Latvia, and where, you know, Melania comes from. All those Eastern European countries were, you know, honeypots. And that's why till this day, and I could say this another thing, what Trump is scared about that's in the Epstein files, and I've been talking about it, and we're going to talk some of the things we're breaking, is some of these honeypots, some of these women that have been working for the KGB are still married to some of Trump's inner circle men. Some of them are still mistresses. Some of them are still lovers. Some are still friends. It's, you could call however you want to call them, but they've, over the past 40 years, 35 years, they have intertwined into through the Epstein circle of influence that the KGB, that Russia, that Putin has that whole hold. Now you're starting to see why Trump is acting the way he does with Putin. It's all coming out. And Melania, yes, folks, I'm sorry, just that I'm ranting because I have so much information in my head right now, because I also just got off with the Tulsi Gabbard shit. I can't even tell you the shit I heard about Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know where to begin, Watch, but I can
tell you. Well, and also Nancy Mace. What's dropping that apparently...
That's Nancy Mace. I don't know.
Nancy Mace got ahead of some like blockbuster piece that's coming out about her, about how she's apparently gone super erratic. And there's Tulsi Gabbard now that just came out. God, man.
Yeah, there's a whistleblower complaint.
Someone just said, this is Keith Edwards, 2 hours ago, the Epstein files confirm Melania met Trump through Epstein.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm telling you, you're going to see that Melania and some of her, PJ, I'm sorry, I got to slow down. You're right. I'm going a mile. I got so much going on right now. I just finished up. But yeah, so listen, we've been speaking about for a while. The biggest thing, you're going to start seeing how Waj, I love the way Waj connects the dots, folks, but you're starting to see the dots being connected through the Epstein files and why they're so important. The other thing I want to definitely mention while we're talking about it, we got over 3,000 people here, folks. February 11th and 12th, I'll let you know, Waj, also, I'm going to be up in D.C. meeting with Congresswoman Crockett and Jamie Raskin and others, and I'll let you know I'll give you a call, let you know what the plan is, but Zev and also Ellie and some other like Kate Justice are putting together, I asked them to do us a big favor and put together a real portfolio of facts that are in the Epstein file, and we're going to take that portfolio and we're going to give it to all the Congress people, so that, because they're too busy, they sometimes can't figure out all of this left, right. So we're going to have Zev work on the financials. We have Ellie working on all the, you know, sex trafficking and the pedophilia, all the people connecting the dots to. So we're going to make it, we're going to chew it up and make it so easy for them that they could, a glossary, so they could see, okay, this man, how many times his name is in the files, how many, and so we're going to do action because, you know, you know, what's her name? Pam Bondi? On the 11th, she's testifying. So what I'm trying to do is
That's good.
So I'm hoping to be in the front row with the Epstein survivors facing Pam Bondi while she's testifying. So I'm working on that. And then, obviously, so we got a lot of things cooking. So the one thing I do want to ask everybody, sign that petition. Waj, if you could later, when you get a chance, pass it around also. We have over 12,000 signatures already. We've added more names to it. So just keep signing that petition, because when we go there on the 12th, when we hand it to them, the more names, the better. Sorry, brother. I had to rock that.
No, go ahead. Give me 1 second. My kids are screaming. Give me 1 second. Go. Give me 1 second.
Go. I'll keep everybody in the meantime telling you. So, yeah. A little news about the Russia connection, folks, that we're going to talk about later also. Oh, okay, Waj is back.
Sorry. So there's some glitch in Substack where the new Substack app, I think I have to, this happened to me 4 times now, is that each time I try to add someone, right? So I had Zev on and I tried to add you on. It doesn't add you on. It doesn't show me adding you on. And then it glitches.
So right. Yes.
You've seen that happen, right?
It happens, you know, sometimes you have to go live and then add on your co-host. So if you do it before, then you can't add. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, and then and then it gives you it, the right now, the way it looks on my phone is it has it at live video preview, even though it isn't. So if I was to press, and this is what happened with Allison, if I press back on this right now, it will cut this entire stream.
Yeah.
So usually sometimes what happens is when you go Substack Live, you're allowed to press mute. So when my kids are screaming, I could press the mute, but I don't have that access right now because there's a glitch in the app.
Yes.
That I think they're trying to fix. So that's why I had to go there and tell my kids to stop yelling and screaming at each other. So pardon me.
No, listen, I, the more the merrier. Mine are on their way home. They'll be yelling and screaming soon, running around. So
it's fun. It's fun screaming, but they're like, yeah. It's fake screaming. So I'm like, guys, there's only so much screaming I can take I have three kids literally screaming. But we're in a situation where, I don't know if you saw, Lev, because there's so much news happening. For you have Spy Sheikh, you have this literally... Well, speak about Spy Sheikh, let's talk about that real quick, because there's a name that Lev has talked about that I think deserves more attention and is kind of falling under the radar. It's not just, folks, the Trump family that is engaged in naked corruption. And speaking about Russia, we'll connect the dots in a second. Just bear with me. Steve Witkoff and his sons. So yesterday when the Wall Street Journal, this article that came out, there's so much news that Donald Trump literally engaged in a corrupt quid pro quo, got UAE to invest nearly $500 million in World Liberty Financial, which is their crypto grift, let's be honest. And then voila, shockingly, the same individual who is known as Spy Sheikh, because that's just the name given, he's a member of the royal family of UAE, also in the national security circles, that's why he's called Spy Sheikh. He's the one who invested $500 million. And guess what, Lev? Shockingly, who did United States, against the advice of national security advisors, sell their top secret, like, you know, highly advanced AI chips to? Saudi Sheikh of UAE. And who made all the money? The Trump family, also Steve Witkoff and Steve Witkoff's sons. And then can you tell us how, who sat there and talked to Russia and advised Russia on how to talk to Donald Trump for the Russia-Ukraine plan? Because it wasn't Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State. Can you remind people?
No, it was Steve Witkoff. It was Steve Witkoff. And also remind people that how Steve Witkoff became the special envoy to Russia, just so for people that don't understand, because now we've been talking about, me, Waj, others, but now already the Wall Street Journal, New York Times have confirmed it, that it wasn't Donald Trump that chose Witkoff to be the special envoy. It was Vladimir Putin, because Donald Trump picked Kellogg, if you remember, but Vladimir Putin didn't like him, and he chose, and that's why they sent Kirill Dmitriev. And folks, if you don't remember, Kirill Dmitriev is Vladimir Putin's right-hand man that is in charge of these talks with Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff. And there's a lot more going on behind the scenes that we're going to be breaking, I promise you, Waj, that it's not just this UAE crypto, but the things that I'm hearing, I keep mentioning, I'm going to keep saying it, just like I used to say. Remember when I said Dan Bongino? I keep saying it. Nord Stream 2. Just remember that. Nord Stream 2. It's that pipeline. For those of you that don't know, it's the pipeline that was disconnected between Russia and Germany, that bypasses Ukraine, bypasses all Europe, and gives Russia total control of energy, gas into Eastern Europe. And it was blown up. There was controversy. Who blew it up? The U.S., Ukrainians, whatever the case. But Nord Stream 2 is not functional. My sources, and I could confirm, and I'm telling you that there have been several conversations, even to the fact that recently they're currently in Miami. Steve, what people don't even know is that Kirill Dmitriev is in Miami posting videos.
Can you tell them about Dmitriev, for those who don't know?
Yeah. So Kirill Dmitriev, just quickly so you understand, first of all, he was a Ukrainian, born in Kyiv, Ukraine. Then when he was because Ukraine, we were all, you know, it was Soviet Union or Russia, lived in Russia, Moscow, was educated here in the United States, I think, either Stanford or, so, you know, a high Ivy League college, ran in those circles, and then went back to Russia. And in Moscow, his girlfriend, that happened to be his wife then, became best friends with Vladimir Putin's daughter. And together they became opened up some sort of a charity foundation, or and from there on he became part of like the Putin family. Putin then made him the special not envoy. He made him the internet monetary, the Russian monetary fund, to run the Russian monetary fund. And in 2017, he sent him in because, remember, him and Jared Kushner, because of their background of Ivy League colleges, knowing him, he sent him in. And this is the key that people don't talk about, who's very important in this whole thing, is MBS. MBS made the marriage between Russia and the United States, between Kushner, Witkoff, and Dmitriev, going back to 2017. MBS also was currently just recently in Moscow meeting with Putin, also, which the media really doesn't talk about. This was
and cool. MBS was the initial investor. Saudi Arabia was the initial investor into Jared Kushner's business. $2 billion. And then I think the Witkoffs got another $1.5 billion.
Correct. No, and nobody knows that Witkoff, see that a lot of people don't, Witkoff just came on the scene. But for those of you that don't know, Witkoff was already, even in Trump's first administration, he was running around with Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner had an official, like unofficial White House role. Steve Witkoff was running around doing the business behind the scenes, already doing these deals. So that's why when Witkoff originally was made by Trump to be the special envoy to the Middle East, even though he was watching Netflix videos to get educated on the Middle East. Think about it, folks. This was the special envoy. Putin, in the same at the time, said to Kirill Dmitriev, that's our guy. So we need to get him to be here. That's why you saw him going there without U.S. interpreters sitting there going there. That's why you see him telling the Russians how to deal with Trump, because Steve, and also, let me, if I may, Wash, bring you guys back. People don't know, but Steve Witkoff was also associated with Russian organized crime, Russian oligarchy, going all the way back to the 1990s and early 2000s, because Steve Witkoff was just like Donald Trump. People talk about Trump Tower being, money laundering, for Russian, real estate and stuff like that. Well, Steve Witkoff signed off on a couple of these shady Russian oligarch characters at that time and sold apartments. So there's a relationship that goes back to the Russian oligarchy and that goes directly to Putin, that's connected to Witkoff and if I may,
because I know there's a lot, but we try to keep the receipts here because people, they don't keep the eye on the ball because it's sexy. But Steve Witkoff, who is in the Trump administration, in November, late November, Bloomberg literally got the audio. That means someone leaked it. Hopefully, I think an ally probably leaked it. We have the transcripts and we have the audio where the Bloomberg scoop showed how Trump aide Steve Witkoff coached the Kremlin on the best way to get Trump's good graces in order to help him, right? Two intercepted phone calls. So you might think what Lev is saying, that sounds crazy. No way. It's a conspiracy theory. Nope. Literally. Follow the money trail. And Zev joined us earlier. We talked about the money trail. And Zev was like, man, before you came on, Lev, Zev's like, I'm shocked at how many times Moscow is mentioned. This money trail goes back to Moscow and Israel and so many financial institutions. You talked about it before you came on. And now you talked about it. You're like, oh, shit, Russia. And then we talked about Steve Witkoff. And then we just had Wall Street Journal come out with this piece yesterday about UAE's, the brother of UAE, who's known as Spy Sheikh, who's a national security advisor, buying 49% of Donald Trump and his kids' World Liberty Financial crypto grift, where him and the Witkoff and their sons got billions of dollars. And then quid pro quo, we, the United States of America, sold our sensitive AI chips to UAE, right? And now you're witnessing, have you followed this Tulsi Gabbard story?
Oh, me? I just broke it.
Can you tell us about the Tulsi Gabbard story?
Yeah, literally, I just broke it right here. The whistle.
Oh, great. Tell him.
All right.
Tulsi is really friendly with Russia. Real friendly.
Well, first of all, yeah. So today, finally, so about a week ago or about several days ago. Well, first of all, we've been talking about Tulsi. Tulsi's been very under the radar. And when you, and I always talk about, you know, you got to watch the people and the things that are happening that are not being talked about, not the things that are being talked about, because that there's a reason for it. And Tulsi, if you know this, you know, Russia, Venezuela, all these things happening around where our DNI director should be involved, was not involved. Everybody was talking and making the news, the media was chasing stories. Oh, he's going to get rid of her. They don't trust her. That wasn't the true story. The true story is Tulsi has been given another job, her job, and she's working behind the scenes. And this has to do with her ties to Russia. You're 100% right, Waj, and other countries like Saudis and others and Qataris, because Tulsi right now is working. And today there was, breaking news about that there's a whistleblower complaint. Yeah. That's being yes. stalled. And this is incredible news that's being stalled in, not to be shot by Congress. Right, to not to be. And the whistleblower complaint is basically what I'm hearing from my sources, because I can't go to them because some of it's national, I guess, security stuff. I got to be careful nowadays what you say. But basically, the Tulsi was involved in this whole operation involved with the elections to change the narrative and to put out a plan of how to basically change certain regulation and how the
if I may, real quick, yeah. The Wall Street Journal also came out with this, that it's literally locked in a safe. Disclosure of its content could cause, quote, grave damage to national security, one official said. It implicates another federal agency beyond Tulsi Gabbard and raises potential claims of executive privilege that may involve the White House. The complaint was filed last May with the Intelligence Community's Inspector General. The letter, which was reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, accused Gabbard's office of hindering the dissemination of the complaint to lawmakers by failing to provide necessary security guidance on how to do so. So clearly, let me just give you the cliff notes, cover up. They're covering it up.
Big time.
Someone leaked it. And what we found out just a couple of days ago, that who was on the ground in the FBI's unprecedented raid in Fulton County, Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. And according to the New York Times, Tulsi Gabbard met with some of the FBI field agents responsible for the Georgia election raid. During the meeting, she called Trump. Trump addressed the agents on speakerphone, asking them questions as well as praising and thanking them for their work on the inquiry. So if I'm a reporter, where is this document? What does it say? And how come you haven't revealed it to Congress? And if it does implicate grave damage to national security, what damage has been done to our national security? Lev, take it away.
Well, yeah, first I want to say to a lot of people I know, they're saying, Lev, spill the beans, tell us. I want to tell you, believe me, you don't have to tell me. I can't keep it in my, I want to tell you everything, but some of the stuff I have to be careful, because what this administration is trying to do, and I'm going to, that's why I'm going to Washington, D.C. I'm going to speak a lot of the stuff that I don't just write on Substack and give you everything I know, because it's a very dangerous to, because of what's happening. I'm going to share it with certain Congress people and let them deal with it properly in proper manner. So yes, believe me, I am going to tell it, but in proper ways. I'm not here to write a book about it like some people. I'm here to make sure we get our country back. And we got to be safe about it. Like, also, before I go on Watch, I don't know if you know, but I've been speaking with Ellie and others. So be careful out there also. For those of you that are opening these files, I'm not a tech guy, but they've implanted, and I'm finding out more about it, some files there that are actually national security files in the Epstein, that if you download them, you could be actually in doing something illegal. I've been speaking actually yesterday with Ellie and Joy about this behind the scenes. So please, those of you, be careful. I mean, so this is the stuff there. These are like Trojan horses, setups and stuff. So that's why I just keep in mind.
Maybe even spyware, malware.
Yeah. So we got to be very careful. We got to be very careful of, you know, what it is we're saying and what we're reporting and how I say it. So, but and the long story short of it is basically Tulsi Gabbard, Trump put her on a mission. She's in charge of right now what I keep reporting, what they call is election reform. In their words, in our words, it's Project 2025 and the push,
right,
basically stealing the elections, rigging the elections, or canceling the elections. So just so you folks understand is, if some people say, yes, he could just cancel him. He doesn't want to cancel him because canceling him is like full-blown dictatorship. He wants to, you know, become a dictator by ways of, you know, keep playing the role by saying, you know, implementing like where all of a sudden, think about it, there'll be ICE agents standing in line checking everybody's documentation who's going to vote. Or there'll be, you know, no more ballots that you can vote. They'll take away all the ballots you have to stand. I mean, there's so much different things that I'm hearing that they're trying to implement that to cause. Because look at what happened yesterday. Look at the elections, what happened yesterday. The historical wave. I told you guys, it's a tsunami in Texas. You had a Democrat turn a seat that literally was plus, I think, 17. And that was the 30-something years, you know, don't quote me on this, but was a Republican. I mean, we had the same thing in Miami, Wash. The same thing happened in New Jersey, Mississippi, Georgia. You're seeing this, and you don't think Donald Trump is seeing it? They're seeing it. They understand. They know it. That's why right now it's a very
They're not going to leave peacefully. No. I keep saying, people, they're not going to leave legally or peacefully.
Absolutely. It's like a rat. Listen, folks, just think about this. It's like when a rat is cornered. When you corner a rat, what is it going to do? It's going to attack you. This is what Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, and the Trump administration right now is in. They are a cornered rat. They know all of this again. They can't control the Epstein file. Just think about it. They came out and literally said, enough. That's it. We're not going to give you the other 3 million. Just with no common sense, they came out to you with all of this stuff saying to you, no, it's okay that there's pictures of some horrible things and all of these things, but we're not even going to investigate or prosecute them.
For those who don't know, that was yesterday on Sunday when Deputy Attorney General and former Trump attorney Todd Blanche, literally his personal attorney, was asked. He said, no, that's it. This is the end of it. And we just know that this is like, so literally the government of the United States is telling you, this is the end of the Epstein files. We're done. You got what you're going to get. And khalas, finish. We're moving on.
Yeah, it's sick. And the other sick part I saw today, Gloria Aldred, she was on TV. And I've been speaking to some of the attorneys like Eric and others behind the scenes and other Epstein survivors. And Waj, the fact that they released not only Jane Doe's names, the facts that they released naked pictures, you know. And you know what pisses me off, Waj? That the media is saying, oh, they made a mistake. This was not a mistake, folks. This is intentional. This is intentional. They're doing this on purpose. They're doing this. This is another way to intimidate the survivors. It's another way to put more pain and pressure of the to keep their mouths just shut. This is not a mistake. Everybody's saying, "Oh yeah, they released." No, folks. Yes, there might. Yeah, if you missed one thing, Waj, I'd say okay, it's a mistake. All of a sudden, they dump pictures of naked young girls and then they take it away. They release names of all of these Jane Does, and they didn't release one name of a Jane Doe. They didn't release one picture. They didn't release. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Watch the.
And well, they know they blocked out Donald Trump's face, but they for some reason didn't block out the victims.
Right.
Shocking.
Right. Right. This was all intentional, folks. Yes, it's sloppy. Don't get me wrong. Two things could be right at the same time. Yes, it's sloppy. Yes, they're making mistakes. But yes, it's also intentional to be able to keep try to put your focus on, you know, distract from what's really going on and take a look. Oh, my God, look at these pictures. Meanwhile, we missed this letter from that says that Michael Cohen knows that Epstein and Donald. You know what I'm saying to you? It's a dump. It's like looking for needle in a haystack. And if you could distract, it's part of the strategy. It's all, this is not coincidence. It's part of their strategy. And that's why, folks, keep your eye on the ball strategically. The most important thing, like Waj talks about every single day, I talk about every day, his Achilles cankle, his whatever.
Trump's Achilles cankle is the Epstein files.
The Epstein files. And right now, they're center stage. We need to make sure that we keep the pressure on. We need to keep your phone calls, keep making sure you sign the petition, make your letters known, go out there. Maybe even let's do a protest. Maybe let's get out the signs. Let's go out there. We do know, you know, all these different protests. Let's go out there and stand in front of it. Let's get some sort of accountability. The first accountability that looks like we're going to have, Waj, is February 11th. February 11th is when Pam Bondi is supposed to come in front of Congress and I agree with you. I'm not expecting anything, but we need to plan and start. We need to be able to get our voices so loud to be able to overpower their lies and destruction and make this the number one right now priority and start holding accountability.
And folks, you see the wheels kind of coming off because you see all this information coming from whistleblowers because, first of all, they probably are deeply worried about the state of our democracy and our national security. But secondly, it's also a reflection of a weak Trump administration where people realize, oh, the wheels are coming off. Let me save my own skin. And maybe now is a safe space where I can actually release this information. Because, again, this Tulsi Gabbard scoop came from The Wall Street Journal. You know, that flaming leftist site, the Spy Shake piece about how Donald Trump sold out our national security, UAE, Wall Street Journal. The Ghislaine Maxwell 50th birthday book, Jeffrey Epstein, where Donald Trump, you know, allegedly, well, now we know he did, but first it was allegedly wrote that lewd message. Who broke it? Wall Street Journal. So you're seeing within certain right-wing spaces a Julius Caesar moment, right? And now you're seeing some people realizing, oh, shit. This guy's probably going down. He's done a lot more damage. Let us save our own skin. And then furthermore, this piece that came out in New York Mag today, somewhat related, this huge, really unflattering portrait of Nancy Mace, a massive Trump supporter, who I don't know if you've seen it, but the allegations are coming from inside her office and the staffers. Like she's basically, they're saying that she should step down, that she's lost it.
Oh, well, let me put it to this way. I don't know what's going on, but I've been hearing two, three weeks ago, like somebody, I didn't even follow up on it, but one of my sort were telling me that, yeah, that she definitely is lost it off the rails completely. I believe it. I believe it. Yeah. I don't want to joke about it because I think she actually has an issue. I think
that's what I'm saying. She's lost it. No, I'm saying I'm not joking. Man,
That's
apparently
what I'm saying.
Trump is on Bongino's podcast earlier today, lying about Minnesota. Bongino show is muting people if you mention the word Epstein. I'm reading. Trump calls in the Dan Bongino, says, quote, the Republicans should say we want to take over. We should take over the voting. So this
they spoke
is,
about Epstein? No.
No, he muted everything. So someone's saying that the producer on the Dan Bongino show is muting or kicking off anyone who talks about Epstein.
There you go.
And then Donald Trump is openly saying Republicans should say we want to take over. We should take over the voting. They are literally telling you folks.
Yeah.
That they are going to try to take over or rig the 2026 and 2020 elections and or implement the Insurrection Act. This guy is not going down peacefully or legally, especially as they see Latinos abandoning them. What happened in Texas? What happened in Jersey? What happened with Mamdani? And furthermore, these leaks are coming out. The Epstein files have made everything worse. Everyone's on their back foot. They're desperate. Everyone's trying to save themselves. They're going to knife each other shamelessly. And as things get worse, Lev, I think we have to be very pragmatic and be honest with our audiences. It's going to get more violent.
Yes.
More disruptive, more corrupt. A cornered rat will chew through anything and everyone, folks. So please be safe. They're playing for all the marbles. And they realize this is like, and you saw in the Grammys, look, you saw some courage. That was a sign that people are not that afraid. They're willing to go out, white folks, young folks, old folks, Latinos, black people, and say F ICE. That's a sign of growing courage. More and more people out on the streets, more and more clergy coming out, Grand Tifa's coming out, right? So now they're realizing, oh, we've overreached on immigration, on ICE, on the economy, on Epstein files, right? They're getting on the back foot. They're going to get more and more desperate, more and more violent, and more of this stuff is coming out. And let's not forget, it seems like 15 years ago, Lev, on Friday, friggin' Don Lemon and three black journalists were arrested. That was just last Friday. I've been trying my best. I've been going since 12 o'clock to give you guys the major stories. People aren't even talking about Spy Shake. People aren't even talking about Tulsi. People aren't even talking about Don Lemon anymore. People have forgotten Renee Nicole Good, folks. That's why it's like a blitzkrieg of stuff happening. People aren't even talking about the raid on Fulton County. So we have to keep juggling the balls, keeping our eyes on the balls. But I'll end with this, and Lev, I'll give you the final word to promote yourself, and then I have to head out. The Epstein files still represent not the only, but the biggest club that we have. And it's not just against Donald Trump. Now you've seen it. It implicates Elon Musk, Steve Bannon, Howard Lutnick, Leon Black, Leslie Wexner, Israel, friggin' Russia, Melania Trump. It implicates Peter Thiel, so many people. So the more and more and more we focus on that, not the only thing, and it's also over 80% of Americans want more transparency. And what we've seen, folks, I don't know if you've seen over the weekend, small fissures on right-wing media where some of these people are like, he lied to us. Yeah, no shit. But now they're figuring it out. That's my take on it. Thanks all for joining. Before I head out, I'll give Lev, promote yourself to the 4,000 people watching.
Thank you, Arjun. You said 100%. And folks, just like what Arjun said, is don't listen to their rhetoric. Don't listen to what they're saying. Watch what they're doing. Watch what they're acting. Watch what they're actually doing. The one thing I want to say is, you know, there's a lot of things happening, and they're a lot bad, and people are dying. People are suffering. People are all over the world because of Trump's actions. But the only way we could stop him is if we're strategic, if we take our anger, take our frustration, and channel it in the proper way. And what me, Waj, and others on this platform keep saying is, it's the Epstein files. This is what it is. You're seeing how big it is. This is not just about Donald Trump. This is not just about Epstein. It's not about, unfortunately, even the thousands of children or girls. This is bigger than the. This is a world wide cover up, folks. And this is what could take, this is what will take Donald Trump, will take his inner circle. Just think about it. There was a percentage they said there, I think the percentage of your name being by accident in the Epstein file is 0.00000, whatever one. Donald Trump's inner circle is like 31%, folks. Like 31%, more than a quarter of people that are working for Donald Trump in his inner circle are mentioned all over the Epstein files. Just think about that. And now we're starting to see the Russia connection that we've been talking about. Now we're starting to see the international, the honeypots. We're starting to see everything that Waj has been, we've been talking about these channels. That's why it's so important to promote and make sure that support independent journalism. Because what you're seeing on the mass media is every day, there's a new breaking news. They're chasing the golden child. They want that breaking news. They'll give it to you. But the problem is, you know what? We can't consume all of this information. That's why you need people like Waj that connect the dots. People like me that break the news. People like Zev that investigate, or Ellie investigate the news. People like my son that go interpret the news. All of this independent journalism is the most important thing we have right now to save our democracy. So I'm going to ask for, on behalf of not just myself, but on behalf of Waj and everybody else, please become a subscriber. It's for free. Being a paid subscriber is for free. Signing a petition is for free. And if you can, become a paid subscriber, because this is what we do to be able to bring you. We don't have the big corporate sponsors. We don't have the Elon Musk, the billionaires supporting us. And that's good. And we don't want them. You know why? Because we report only to you, because we don't have alliances to what to push their narrative. The narrative of Wash sits there. He tells you the truth. He's there 24 hours a day. His kids, look at that. Look at that stuff in the background. I love that. What is that? Starship Battlefield. You guys made that?
Millennium Falcon. No. I've got 800 kids, and Ellie has 900, and Lev has 1,000. But look, you know, what you said about independent journalists, look, whether you like us or not, just look at what happened in America on Friday. This Trump administration, in order to bully and cower journalists and to send a message to threaten people from asking questions, they arrested four Black independent journalists, including one of the most prominent and well-known independent journalists, Don Lemon, on a bullshit case, to the point where all four of them were released. But nonetheless, that was frightening. And so if they could do that to independent journalists, they can do that, God forbid, to me and anyone else. That's what they're telling you. If we can murder Renee Nicole Good, a white mom, we'll murder you. If we can murder Alex Preddy, who is a nurse for veterans, we will murder you. And then we will lie about it, and we will defame you, and we will do a cover-up, and we will call you a domestic terrorist. What are you going to do about it? So this is why we all have to stick together. And as corporate media has sold out and is becoming more and more weak and corrupt, even though there's very good people who still work there, but we've seen it, folks, right? More and more of these billionaires who are part of the cabal are buying up and gobbling up all the news, Barry Weiss, David Ellison, Larry Ellison. It's not in corporate media's interest to tell the truth. Corporate media's North Star is ratings and access to power. It sucks, but that's what it is. Even though there's many good people working at CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, it might not survive now, folks. CBS News, in the gutter. So this is where Substack and some other places have become an outlet for the rest of us. We need your support. I know that sounds gross. I'm terrible at it. But at the very least, I've kept everything for free. Lev has kept everything for free. No paywalls, at least kept everything for free. Zev does good work. At least subscribe. You subscribe, the way the algorithm works, it puts this content out on top. I know it sucks, but just that's how the algorithm works. If you have some money, I have a special. I've continued it. It's the 25% off special because people said it really helped them. So it was supposed to end yesterday. I've continued it. It's thelefthook.substack.com/special. thelefthook.substack.com/special. It's $3.75. And furthermore, if I may, Lev, and I know a lot of your viewers are watching, I only have one, if you will, partner that has come on. It's Ground News. Ground News partners up with a lot of people. They should partner up with you, Lev. They've partnered up with iHeb.
Tell me, yeah.
They partnered up with Joy. They partnered up with Jess Craven. They partnered up with Qasem Rashid. It is founded by a woman, a daughter of immigrants who worked at NASA. It is a fantastic aggregator of world news, one-stop shop, Ground News. But what the reason why I partnered with them after doing my research is they audit the news. So they tell you exactly the bias of each news source, the factuality, how much they can be trusted. And this is why I really like it, who owns it? And then what they do, they have something called Spotlight, where you could take an issue, say the Epstein files, and on the left, you'll see how right-wing media is covering it, and then you'll see how the world is covering it. So it's called groundnews.com. And the reason why I liked it is because I'm like, it's a great service, aggregator, auditor, gets you more informed, supporting a lot of my allies. And I just gave you all, and this is Lev's viewers, also the 4,200 people watching, groundnews.com/hook gives you 40% off. I don't get the money, but try it out. If you try, if you like it, let me know. If you just use that link, groundnews.com/hook, you get 40% off. And it's not just the Left Hook viewers, anyone who's watching right now, give it a shot. I found it to be very useful. It helps our allies, not just an aggregator, but also an auditor of the news. And so some of you are saying Victoria's got it, Seeking Reasons got it. Stacy says it's great. Fantastic. Yeah. So try it out. If it's good, wonderful. If not, it's all good. Just give it a shot. Thank you all for watching.
Introduce me to them, Marge. Definitely. I would definitely like to try them out and see. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was their halal guinea pig. They're like, you know, we help these people who are much bigger than me, but you're very active on Substack Lives. So I'm always usually the halal guinea pig for everything. So I took 2 weeks, folks, because I never have brought on, you know, I've never solicited any sponsorships, corporate, anything. I just do it independent. I've kept everything for free. But Ground News helps a lot of people. So they're my first and only partner. I have no problem promoting them. Thank you all for watching. This is Lev Remembers and The Left Hook. If you're not a subscriber for the, wow, nearly 4,200 people, please subscribe. Real quick, for those who joined us late, I've been speaking for the past hour and a half to Zev and Lev. Zev came on for about 45 minutes and then Lev joined. Zev has done fantastic investigative reporting for several years following the money. And he came on his own. I said, all right, Zev, money trail, what do you want to talk about? And on his own, he goes, man, Russia is all up in this. And then Lev came on 45 minutes later. He's like, guys, Russia's all up in this. And in between, we gave specifics and we talked about it's not just Russia. It's not just Israel. It's not just, you know, Leon Black and Leslie Wexner. It's also American backs, JP Morgan. It's also Steve Bannon. It's also Melania Trump. It's also Elon Musk, right? It's all these connections, and it shows this big cabal of the world's worst people, which is why he's so terrified, because not only does the Epstein files expose Donald Trump, it exposes him. Before that, we had Mike Madrid explaining how Texas could have flipped 34 points and gone to Democrats, and why Latinos should not be underestimated. I thought that was a fascinating breakdown. We had Stuart Stevens talking about, former Republican, why we have to be cutthroat against MAGA and fascists and go full court press. And then, of course, it was Democracy Ish with me and Danielle talking about not just the Grammys but the Epstein files, but also some of the biggest news. And in between, we talk about Tulsi Gabbard Spy Shake, Nancy Mace. And I think we got a lot. We got a lot covered. Thank you all for watching. Take care. And for those, real quick, I have to go work out to stay overweight. But once I come back at the night, all this will be out. So if you missed it, don't worry. We'll publish each of these conversations. And if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe as well. Everything is free. Lefthook.substack.com/specials, 25% off. Lev remembers. Thank you all for watching. And Lev will get more of his scoops. And then what I like about Lev, I'll tell you this. Lev will only report or come on when he gets it 100% confirmed. So sometimes he calls me and he goes, yo, I'm hearing things, but wait. I want 100%, which I like. So I just want you to all know, if Lev comes on, that's when he's like, I feel 100% confident. So far, he's betting 1,000. But before that, he goes, I've heard things, but let me just confirm. So he's still waiting. And you're telling me that apparently you're waiting for some more stuff to come out.
Yes, I'm waiting. And I think either today or tomorrow, we're going to be breaking it. And we'll do maybe a panel, me, you, and some others, and maybe Joy, and it's some pretty big stuff connected to the Epstein files, Russia, the honeypot. So got my fingers crossed. So let's see what happens.
Someone's asking, am I managing to move Madrid to the left? I'll try. But I think, hey, man, listen, I will say the last thing I'll say about this is the Bulwark owner, founder, Bill Kristol, hardcore neocon war hawk. Bill Kristol, before it was popular, Bill Kristol, of all people, said, abolish ICE. And now, fast forward, February 2nd, a majority of Americans are saying abolish ICE. People change. Who would have thought I would be talking to Lev Parnas? Not me. But here we are. Thank you all, everyone. Take care of yourself. Be informed. Be kind. And please, oh, please don't be a fascist.
Take care, Wes.